This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou katoa, kua huhi mai nei, mō tēnei whai kōrero o tātou. My name is Peter Barron, and I am the radio pharmacist, and I'm here on OAR 105.4 FM every week. Over the next half hour, we will talk about how and why and when to use medicines and other matters concerning your health. If you missed the show or wish to listen to today's show or previous shows, these are available on podcast. I'm always happy to talk about any specific issues or questions that you have, and you can contact me at The Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or on my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. Nō reira, nō mai, haere mai, and let's get started. Kia ora koutou katoa. On this rather wintry day, for early spring or late spring. Certainly a little bit of a shock this morning, but I guess we live in New Zealand, and when somebody leaves that fridge door open down in Antarctica, as they do from time to time, we can expect that we're going to get a blast of cold air comes our way, and if it intersects in the correct way, then we're going to see the conditions that we saw last night and are probably going to see for the next day or so. It was predicted. So we shouldn't be surprised. That's one of the joys of living in the south. We do get this variability, and it was probably timely to get a bit more rain as well. So today I'm going to devote, I guess it's getting to be fairly usual, to devote our show to COVID. Clearly some fairly unsettling things happening in the north of the North Island. So far, we've been very fortunate in the South Island. I think we've now gone 300 days without any community spread, which is really good. Some interesting commentary on the news, various online and radio and newspaper today and yesterday about whether there should be a hard border into the South Island. And whilst that outwardly probably looked fairly attractive to us in the South Island. As I think Professor Michael Baker said, I was one of the epidemiologists, said it's not particularly practical, because at the end of the day, there are going to be people crossing the border. As you're probably aware, most of our supplies, most of the distribution hubs are in the North Island. So there's going to be an essential freight that stocks our supermarkets, stocks our pharmacies, stocks our building supply people, everybody, excuse me, which comes from Auckland. And that's got to get from Auckland somehow. And typically, that's going to involve people. It's going to involve trucks. Even if it involves rail freight, etc., it's still going to involve people. So I think that the strategy, we're really fortunate in New Zealand. And in part, our good fortune over the last 20 months or so since COVID reared its head has been that we've managed to contain it. There is a downside to that, of course, as some countries are now saying, that countries like Denmark and the UK, for instance, are saying that because they've had so much COVID, they've now got most of their population who have either been vaccinated or have been infected and therefore have some immunity. One of the flip sides for us in New Zealand, because we were so successful in keeping COVID out of the country, is that we don't have a lot of that base immunity. But I don't think anybody's seriously suggesting that we all need to go out now, if you haven't been vaccinated, go out and catch COVID. Because we've only got to look across the ditch to Australia to see what's happening, particularly in New South Wales and Victoria. I think yesterday Victoria had something like 1,700 new cases and quite a significant number of deaths. Today, if I recall correctly, when I looked at the ABC, I think they had around about 1,400 new COVID cases and 8 deaths. In New South Wales, I think yesterday about 800 new infections with about 7 or 8 deaths. I think today it's down to about 400 with 5 deaths. But just remember, those two states, probably about 8 million people each, give or take a few. So they've got about 1.5 times New Zealand population, perhaps slightly more. If you look at our infection rates, Yesterday, I think we had, 39? So in New South Wales or Victoria, based on that, you would expect that perhaps they would have had 60 each. Instead, one of them had 1,700, one of them had 800. So I think that demonstrates the the perniciousness and the spread of the Delta variant of this virus. And I think that all of the experts in Australia, with New South Wales having eased up on their restrictions or about to ease up on their restrictions, are expecting that there's going to be quite a surge, and that's probably going to significantly impact their health services. Obviously, we've got the same problem in New Zealand. There's a lot of concern, and I've heard interviews on radio today with the Minister of Health where we're looking at, do we have the surge capacity? And the part of the problem is that to start adding ICU beds, it's a highly complex task. I know from my time as a board member on the District Health Board that whilst the solutions might seem simple, they're not. There's the question of making space available. There's the question of negative pressure rooms. All those esoteric things which we don't think about. And then being able, if you've actually got the physical environment, then being able to staff it. And we're probably all aware that our workforce in New Zealand has been stretched, certainly probably not as badly stretched as other countries, but the health workforce is getting stretched and is under pressure. And that's having implications, of course, not only for COVID, but it's having implications for elective care. So the types of procedures that we might have otherwise been having when the South Island were okay because we're at alert level two. So basically the hospitals are functioning fairly normally. But if you're in Auckland and under alert level three, then people are still not able to go and get eye appointments or ear appointments. They're not able to see their physiotherapists, and most elective surgeries and that are not proceeding. So that certainly causes huge problems. And let's keep fingers crossed that we in New Zealand have been able to buy enough time. I know that the government's got a big push on this Saturday, a big vaccination push to try to get the remainder of our population vaccinated. I did see a newspaper article yesterday. There's about 1 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine that are getting fairly short dated. Now, I think at this stage we've got at least 2 million more injections to give. So those million vaccines which are available now, it would be absolutely marvellous if we could get a large chunk of those administered over this weekend and on this Saturday. I think we've got as high as injecting about 80 or 90,000 people a day. I'm sure if everybody rolls their sleeves up, literally, then perhaps this Saturday and this weekend we can get another 100, 200,000 people vaccinated, because I'm absolutely certain, as are most of the experts, and I'm not professing to be an expert, but I am reading their opinion and I am listening to what the government is saying, and we have just got to get as many people vaccinated as possible. I'm certainly hopeful that in the not-too-distant future vaccine will be rolled out to the over-fives. I know in the States application has been made by Pfizer. I'm not sure about its status at the moment, but they have done the trials and they are saying that it's safe for those between 5 and 12 to be protected against COVID. As we've said many times, the people that we need to get to and the people we need to get vaccinated are actually young people. They're the people who are mobile. They're the people who are likely to spread the virus. They may or may not suffer the severe consequences. I think it's fair to say that older people like myself and those who are at risk are probably less at risk because we're managing fairly closely in places we go to, making sure that we wear our masks and making sure that we are vaccinated. And you may have heard me talk earlier in the year about game theory and the prisoner's dilemma. And I think what's emerging now is that the intuitive thing was that we needed to vaccinate the most at-risk groups, so the people who were at risk of the consequences of COVID first. I did argue at the time that game theory and the prisoner's dilemma, as the economists like to call it, suggested that perhaps rather than targeting those most at risk, we needed to target those who were most active and most likely to spread the virus. It doesn't mean to say that they are going to necessarily themselves suffer the consequences, but they're the group of people who are most likely to be spreading the virus. The virus doesn't care who transmits it. As the Prime Minister is saying, it's a fairly devious virus, and it certainly has managed to find its way into our communities. We're probably exceedingly lucky at the moment that case numbers in Auckland are not going up. They're certainly up a little bit, but they're not unexpected. When we look at the irresponsibility as to the people that used false documents to cross the borders and travelled to Northland, it could have been the same people who crossed the border and came to Wanaka. I keep hearing reports of lots of people who seem to think this rules don't apply to them. The people who are letting the whole team down, to be quite frank. Let's not pull our punches about this. This is a team. It's a team of all of the people in this country. And if we want to avoid the consequences of COVID, then we've all got to play our part. I know there are a number of people who are vaccine hesitant, and I think that probably some of that hesitancy is disappearing. I know certainly with the announcement yesterday from the government that all health workers, including pharmacists, are going to have to have their first vaccination by the end of October, and are going to have to have had two vaccinations by the end of November. Quite simply, no jab, no job. Now, that might seem harsh, but that is the reality of what the government has decided to do. I, for one, certainly support it. I'm sure there are going to be some people listening to this who say, well, that's a massive infringement of our rights. I would just proffer the opinion that what about the rights of the rest of the people in the country? Do you believe if you're anti-vax or if you're vaccine hesitant, do you believe that it's your right to transmit that virus to other people? Do you believe it's the right to transfer it to your parents, to your children, to your workmates, to your community? Because that's effectively what we're doing. I certainly believe that we all need to sort of, if you are anti-vax or if you're vaccine hesitant, then I believe that you need to hold a mirror in front of your face and say, do I want to inflict this on my community? Totally your decision as to what you inflict on yourself, but do you want to inflict that on the rest of your community? So on that that note, let's go to a break with a little bit of a promo and then some music from John Rolls.
The Radio Pharmacist, sharing tips and practical advice on the management of a range of healthcare matters every Tuesday at noon on ORFM Dunedin. Taking the time to explore some of the bigger issues around health and well-being in simple, easy language we can all understand. The Radio Pharmacist, bold, innovative, sometimes controversial, and not afraid to tell it as it is. Tune in Tuesdays at noon on 105.4 FM and 1575 AM or online at oar.org.nz. That's The Radio Pharmacist, every week on Tuesdays at noon.
Waiting for me. Share. in the sleepy little town, where soft breezes blow. There's a lovely little Maori miss I used to know. Someday I will find my way, and I'll return from over the sea to where my island sweetheart waits for me.
And kia ora, you're back with the Radio Pharmacist. Listening to John Rawls reminds me of my time in Papua New Guinea. I spent nearly 12 years off and on working in Papua New Guinea as a pharmacist. And the latter part of that was in Port Moresby, where we had a very active expatriate Kiwi club. And we used to have an annual function, a very big ball where we imported all the New Zealand beers, and we had bluff oysters and white bait, and we bought all the cayenne from New Zealand. And we also bought up New Zealand entertainers, and two of the notable people we bought up were John Rawls on one occasion and Sir Howard Morrison. And it was actually quite fascinating to meet both of these people in person and spend some time with them. They were both cultural ambassadors for New Zealand, so it was actually... It was really good to work closely with those people. So coming back to COVID, and as I said, I make no apology for being a staunch advocate for COVID vaccination. We've simply got to do this for our community and for our fellow human beings. When you look at New Zealand, we've been extraordinarily lucky. There was an interesting article some of you may have read in the newspapers on the weekend contrasting what's happening in Singapore, where they've started to open up, with what's happening in New Zealand. And, you know, quite clearly, our government's hand's been forced. We've gone from, certainly in the North Island at this stage, from an elimination platform through to one where we're going to have to live with the virus. And I think that's inevitable. It's always been inevitable. We'll move from being a pandemic to an endemic. So in the sense that if we compare influenza, from time to time we have influenza pandemics when there's a new variant of the influenza virus, and that sweeps through the community. We don't have a lot of innate protection because the virus has changed itself, through to we get to an endemic state where we expect it every year. We roll out new vaccines which protect us in large part. And I think the same situation's going to apply to COVID. The problem that we have with COVID at the moment is that COVID has the potential to overwhelm our health systems. And I was reading an interesting article about something that probably causes a lot of confusion for people, and that's the R number. So let's just spend a few minutes talking about the R number, because it's absolutely vital to understanding the spread of COVID. It's quite simple, really, the raw R number. It's the average number of people that one infected person will pass the virus on to. So that's the raw number. Now, the pandemic modellers and the epidemiologists use two different R numbers. There is what they call RO, which is essentially the R number when there's nothing to stop it. So if we didn't do anything, what happens with that number? And then, so that's what the uncontrolled spread of the virus would look like. And then there's the, we'll carry on. So the RO for Delta is thought to be about 5 or 6. So if you just do some simple mathematics, let's just assume that it's 5. So that if one person can infect 5 people, then those 5 people can infect 25 people. Those 25 people can infect 125 people. You see, it spreads very, very, very rapidly out of control. What we think is that the original COVID variant, the one that started all this, had an RO of about 2.5. But what we know is this Delta variant is certainly much, much more infective. So the rule of thumb is that if the R number is above 1, then the virus is spreading. When it's below 1, the virus is slowing down. The aim of our lockdown was to slow Delta down and get it below 1 and force it to die out. So that's just a simple explanation, I hope, of what the R value is. The one the epidemiologists use, the RE value, is what they estimate happens when we erect some barriers. So if we go to lockdown, or we start to get a significant proportion of the population vaccinated. And that becomes the RE number. Now, as I said, you can just get your calculator out and you can work out these sums. So the higher that R value, the greater the risk that the virus is going to spread. So that's why we're desperately trying to get it down. As I said earlier, it's hugely disappointing. The people of Northland must be absolutely seething that two people would A, use false documents and then refuse to tell people where they've been. I could well understand they may have some reasons for doing that, but this once again is a community effort. So I do make a final appeal before I finish. Between now and Saturday, and certainly now and the end of the year, we need to get every single person in this country who's eligible for the vaccine vaccinated. It's absolutely critically important. And I urge everybody who's listening to me today, please go out. Please get yourself vaccinated. Please encourage your family, your friends, your workmates, your schoolmates, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, those people you go to church with, those people that you see socially in your sports team. If they're not vaccinated, then please encourage them to be vaccinated, because we need to do this for our community. I well remember as a child the huge fear that we had around polio and the fact that we were able to eradicate polio because, as I've said, I think last week, I remember my relations talking. I remember people who had spent months and months and months in iron lungs and in isolation because of polio. That fear was removed from us, so let's remove that fear from our community so that we can get back to a normal life. So, folks, look, we're out of time for today. Thanks for listening to me. Some of you might be saying thanks for putting up with me. But once again, we look forward to talking to you next week. If you haven't caught today's show and you'd like to catch it again, it is available on podcast at oar.org.nz. Simply click into that website, click into the podcast, type in Radio Pharmacist, and then make your choice. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Well, folks, all good things must come to an end, and we are out of time for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you found today's kōrero useful. If you have a question for me or a subject you would like me to discuss on the show, please message me on the Radio Pharmacist on Facebook, or at my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. If you missed today's show or previous shows, they're available on podcast at oar.org.nz. This is Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist, signing off OAR 105.4 FM for today. So until next Tuesday at noon, ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.